Bartram has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in!
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Kentucky Resilience Lab. This is Natalie coming to you from outside on my patio. I love sitting outside on my patio on the evenings, breathing in the fresh air, listening to the sound of the crickets, sitting near a beautiful tree with my screen lights providing the perfect amount of light during the nighttime. It just inspires me, and it's so calming and relaxing. Today I would like to talk to you about another gift in this world that brings me inspiration, music. I call music a gift because artists work hard every day to create music that benefits other people in so many ways. When you think about a gift, it's something that someone else does for you, that brings you joy, benefits you in a way that you wouldn't be able to do on your own. Today I will discuss a few benefits that music has for sport and exercise, and I'll provide a couple of personal examples of how I've benefited from music and sport. Recently, I've been reading a textbook titled Applying Music in Exercise and Sport. It is written by Dr. Costas Karageorgis, a professor at Brunel University in London, England. On page 3, he says, "It is almost as though music is part of humanity's genetic blueprint, a constant through the millennia that people of all ages and cultures engage in spontaneously." I love this quote by Dr. Karageorgis because it illustrates the powerful impact music has in our world. When you think about a genetic blueprint, you think about something that is within people, that just comes naturally, something that makes us who we are and inspires us, energizes us, helps us achieve our goals and what we want to do. I recommend reading the entire textbook by Dr. Karageorgis, but today I'm going to focus on the 3 main areas of music effects related to sport and exercise. Dr. Karageorgis outlines these as psychological, psychophysical, and ergogenic. Let's begin with psychological. These effects include boosting our moods and influencing emotion, feelings, and thought processes. Because music affects our thought processes, it's valuable to choose music with lyrics that provide powerful affirmations. So, when engaging in exercise and sport, you want to listen to songs that tell you about how great you are, how wonderful the world is, how beautiful you are, you know, the skills that you possess. And while songs might not directly come out and say this, you can probably think of some songs that just contain optimism, just really powerful, positive lyrics. Lyrics that make you feel good about yourself. Now, it is good that there's songs out there that talk about failure and sadness and losing loved ones or breakups. You know, that those songs are also powerful because we can relate to those during tough times. And again, there's a time and a place to listen to those songs when you need that relatedness to those lyrics. But when training and exercise and sport, when wanting to achieve goals and accomplish what you've been striving towards in your performance, we want to stick to those songs that provide positive affirmations. The affirmations that are going to give you confidence, make you feel equipped to succeed in your performance. And in relation to emotions and feelings and mood, music may also lead us to being stimulated by imagery. So you can probably think of a song that when you're listening to it, it just takes you someplace else. Maybe it makes you think about an event that you've had in your life. And you felt really good during that event. Maybe it was a prior sport performance. Maybe it was a time where you did really well in a race. Maybe it was a time where you scored a lot of points in your basketball game. Or maybe it's a time where you won your tennis match. or, you know, hit a personal best in your swim meet. If you're a goalie, maybe it's a game where you prevented a lot of goals from being scored. Whatever your sport may be, music has the power to stimulate imagery, to make us think about ourselves performing well. And similar to imagery, music may also lead to dissociation. So if you are training and exercising, maybe you're training for a half marathon, and maybe that day you're running 6 miles, and you're just like, you know what, I want something that's just going to kind of take me to my happy place, that's going to make me forget about the pain that I might feel halfway through, or might make me forget about how, you know, how repetitive every movement feels, you know? Make it a little bit more exciting. So similar to imagery, it might help us dissociate and go someplace else, think about our happy place. And this is really good, except in a few instances, dissociation could be harmful. Like, for example, when needing to focus on instructions from a coach. That's kind of why if you notice, you know, you might hear warm-up music before a basketball or a football game, but then as it gets closer to kickoff or to the start of the game, the music kind of lowers, and it gives players and the coaches time to really focus and concentrate on what they need to be doing. There's a reason for that, right? Because if we're listening to music and we're distracted or we're dissociating ourselves from where we are, we might miss those important instructions. And in a similar way, we might not want to use music if we're trying to learn a complex skill. Because if it's a complex skill that's new to you or that you're trying to improve on, it might distract you if you have music. So you really need to focus on that skill. And there's another instance where dissociation could be bad, and we're going to talk about that later on when I give you some other key tips for music. So now let's move on to psychophysical effects. These relate to how our brains interact with what we do physically. One of these effects that is measured is our perception of how much we are exerting ourselves physically. This is often measured using the Ratings of Perceived Exertion, or RPE scale, created by psychophysicist Gunnar Borg. This scale oftentimes goes from either 0 to 10 or 6 to 20. Exercisers or athletes choose numbers on the scale that represent how much they feel like they are exerting themselves, from no exertion at all to the absolute maximum exertion. Research shows that music can reduce perceived exertion by 10% when engaging to low to moderate intensities of exercise or athletic training. However, this does not appear to happen in high intensity exercise and training. You might be thinking, oh, well then, what about high intensity exercise and training? Well, the good news is music can still help people feel better at all levels of intensity during exercise and training. So even though your perceived exertion might not go down when listening to music during high-intensity exercises, that music can still overall make you feel better. This can be explained by Scherer and Zentner's music emotion link. They outline 3 routes for influencing emotion through music: memory, empathy, and appraisal. Has music ever made you remember a certain event in your life and then make you feel an emotion related to that event? That's the memory part of the link. Experiencing empathy when listening to music is when you can relate to the emotions that the artist is expressing. So if the artist is expressing joy or happiness, then empathy would mean you can feel that. If they're telling the story of success, what it feels like to fall in love, empathy would mean you can feel that, you can relate to that. If they're expressing what it feels like to go through a breakup or lose a loved one, that sadness that might be associated with that, then empathy would mean you can feel that. You can relate to that. And finally, the appraisal link helps you reflect on what the emotion you are experiencing means to you and your own well-being. So if you're listening to a song for a warm-up before a race or before an athletic performance, or maybe you're listening to music during your exercise while you're running or on the elliptical, if you're listening to a song and it makes you think of an event, maybe it makes you think of that 5K that you just ran really well in a couple months ago. Or maybe it makes you think about that game where you scored 3 goals in 1 soccer game. That emotion, that joy, that excitement that you might feel with it and that you can relate to the artist in whatever way that that artist made you feel, what does that mean to you and your own well-being? Well, hopefully that means you're more excited, you're more motivated to work hard and to train so that you can be even better next time, so that you can experience that emotion that you associated with that past event again, so that you can run an even faster 5K, so that you can score even more games or have, score even more goals or have more assists than a game. And the final area of musical effects is ergogenic. This occurs when performance in sport and exercise is enhanced by delayed fatigue or an increase in work capacity. In other words, performers may feel that they can work longer and harder, produce more results, and feel overall stronger. Dr. Kara Georges refers to music as a type of legal drug that enhances work output. So think about that, a type of legal drug that enhances work output. It's a way to naturally help yourself feel like you can achieve more and go longer, have more endurance, feel stronger. Research shows that music has mild ergogenic effect during a variety of sport and exercise activities. This occurs because music can energize us, bring people together, and motivate us. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily make what you're doing entirely easy, and do we even want that, right? You want some challenge. You know that it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes when training and performing. But if we can just make that a little bit easier, you know, make it not seem as tough, that's great. Music energizes us, helps us be more motivated, and brings us together. You know, there's something so great about that feeling of when you're warming up with your team and you all love your warm-up playlist. It hypes you up and it brings you together. It makes you feel united as a team. And another effect that music has, and this can kind of touch on the psychophysical again, is that music has the power to affect our heart rate. So music with lively and upbeat tempos may increase our heart rates, whereas slower and more calming music may decrease our heart rate. Both are important. Researchers refer to this tendency of the heart rate to alter toward the tempo of music as entrainment. So you might have felt that before if you're listening to a song that just seems to pump you up. And it almost feels like your heart rate's getting faster, right? And that's kind of why there's such thing as warm-up music, right? Because you need a way to get more aroused. You need a way to get hyped up and to prepare yourself to perform, right? You don't want to immediately go from a complete rest state to your performance. You want a way to warm you up. That's the whole point of a warm-up. And music can help aid that. Research would also say that this relationship is not entirely linear. A heart rate during exercise and sport is not in complete proportion to the music tempo we prefer for these activities. Research shows that the tempo most people prefer for music is between about 120 to 140 beats per minute. While this may match your heart rate during some exercise and training, it does not always. That's okay. You know, and again, it shows that there is benefit into music kind of somewhat, you know, seeming similar to our heart rate, but not being exactly the same, right? And that makes sense, right? You know, it's not a perfect proportion, but still has the power. Upbeat tempo still has the power to increase our heart rates when we're warming up. And we know that during cool downs, it can actually be really beneficial to listen to more calming music. So I always recommend to athletes to have a playlist that they enjoy listening to as a warm-up, to pump them up. Maybe some music that they listen to during exercise, so maybe while they're running or jogging on the elliptical, whatever it might be. And the music that they have that can calm them down during a cool-down or after a sport performance. So if you think about maybe after a game where maybe your team lost, maybe you don't feel super great about your performance, you wish you did better, that can be frustrating and that can kind of stir up some emotions that might be a little bit uncomfortable to sit with. And so music has the power to calm us down, to make us feel a little bit better, to relax us, to calm our breathing down because we don't want our heart rate to stay super elevated after a performance. It's the point of a cool down, that's the point of, you know, trying to relax and unwind after a game. So find some calming music, some relaxing music, some music that still makes you feel good, but that serves a different purpose than your hype-up music. It allows you to calm down and relax. Related to this topic is synchronous versus asynchronous music. Synchronous music has a fairly steady beat that allows for the natural human tendency to have body movement and musical rhythms be in sync. Think about when you naturally tap your feet to the beat of the music, right? The music is synchronous because the beat seems to be pretty steady, kind of like that car horn, car alarm that's going off in the background right now for me. It's a steady beat the whole time, right? Maybe not what we want to listen to when it comes to music, but you get the point. You know, we all have those songs that just seem to keep that steady beat. And this synchronization has the most beneficial effects during exercise that is long in duration and has a lot of repetitive, non-complex movements, such as running, stair climbing, or exercising on the elliptical machine. This synchronization helps increase energy efficiency and thus makes the workload seem less intense and helps lower perceived exertion. So if you're training for a half marathon and you're on the day where you run 10 miles, right? It can seem repetitive, it's long in duration, but when it comes down to it, it's not that running isn't challenging, but the movements that you're doing, because they're repetitive, and if you're running 10 miles, you're probably used to the movements of your legs moving while you're running, we consider those to be not as complex as maybe if you were, you know, learning a new skill in basketball or soccer or football, if you were practicing a drill, or if you were, in a Zumba class where you're doing all these different complex dance moves, or, you know, Pilates, or something where your body's doing more complex movements that maybe aren't the same throughout the entire workout. Whereas in running, again, it's long in duration and it's just repetitive movements. So this synchronization, it helps kind of sync your steps and your feet. So like every time your feet are hitting the ground while you're running, if that's kind of in sync with the beat of the music, it almost makes your body feel like it doesn't need to work as hard because the music is kind of keeping your steady pace. And it helps lower your perceived exertion because if you're kind of focused on like just keeping your beat match or your steps matched up to the beat of the music, it almost feels like you don't have to exert as much energy. And then that's just a really, really cool effect that music has. Asynchronous music, on the other hand, can be beneficial for all individual exercise. So not just running and stair climbing, but also other types of workouts that you're doing that maybe aren't as long duration and not as repetitive. Prior to exercise, asynchronous music helps prime people and arouse them into an active state during the warm-up. Think of it as hype-up music. During the cool-down, asynchronous music helps calm people back down if the appropriate music is chosen. So again, asynchronous music is this music that has more variation in the tempo, and this helps stimulate exercisers and athletes during short periods of high-intensity exercise too. So that's one of the benefits is, if you are doing a drill in basketball where you're dribbling down the court and then you do a layup, you know that feeling of maybe you're dribbling down the court and the music's going, and then it's like boom, you get to the layup part and the beat's kind of different. You know, the beat changes, and that feeling of being able to have that burst of energy right before you complete your layup. Or if you're practicing sprints, maybe you're on the track and you know you're doing your training, and you're practicing 100 meter sprints. If you kind of wait till that point in the song where it speeds up, and you just feel like you can explode down the track, that can be really beneficial for the asynchronous. And then maybe while you're doing your cool down in between sprints, that's when the music is kind of a little bit steadier, and then it changes beat or whatever. You know, that asynchronous music, it adds that variety. It helps with those short bouts of intense exercise. But these arousing effects don't benefit exercisers as much in the high-intensity exercise as in the low to moderate. And again, we've seen those effects, as we were talking about earlier, with the ratings of perceived exertion, that There tends to be more benefit in the low to moderate exercise when it comes to arousing and getting us a little bit more hyped up. But again, it doesn't mean that there can't be benefits, especially on the way we feel when we're doing those high intensity exercises. So finally, I want to end with some key tips about music. When planning to exercise, try to complete one session without music for every two sessions you complete with music. So again, for example, if you're training for a half marathon and you're running five times a week, let's say, if Monday and Tuesday you run with music, then on Wednesday, try running without music. Being exposed to the stimulus of music every session may lessen its effect over time. Also, not listening to music can help you learn to find joy in simply engaging in the exercise. So if your body is so conditioned to having music every time you run or every time you get on the elliptical, then you might not be able to tell, like, do I enjoy it because I enjoy the feeling that I get from running and working out on the elliptical, or am I enjoying it just because I'm excited to listen to my music playlist, right? And so kind of interchanging whether or not you listen to music and if you don't can kind of make you enjoy the exercise for what it is, and then look forward to those days where you do get to listen to music as that extra mood booster, or as that way to make the exercise seem less like you're exerting yourself less, or you're having to work, you know, so that you don't feel like you're working as hard because you have that way to dissociate, or that way to provide some imagery and some, again, positive feelings. Now, in terms of, again, when to be careful when listening to music, or when to avoid listening to music, here's a tip. It is wise to avoid listening to music with headphones on when running, hiking, or walking, or biking, on or near a busy road. So I said hiking, but I really meant to say biking. I mean, hiking is, I mean, if you're hiking, you know, on a mountain, or you're hiking on a trail, there also might be times where it's not safe to listen to music, especially if you're on a pretty intense, challenging hike. But why it's dangerous to listen to music while near or on a busy road is because you can't hear what's going on around you as much, right? So at the very least, keep your music low. But it's recommended that you don't listen to music at all if you're on or near a busy road, because you won't be able to hear the cars coming by as well. You won't be able to tell if there's something coming up behind you. And that can be true anywhere you are. You know, you want to be safe, especially if you're running or, you know, biking or anything at nighttime, which you really have to be careful if you're doing that, and it's best to be with someone else if that's the case, because if it's dark outside, you can't see as well, and it you might not know if someone's coming up behind you, or it might be harder to see a car. The car might not be able to see you as well, especially if you're not wearing reflectors, but adding music makes it even harder, because then you're losing your sense of hearing. You know, you're focused on the music, so you might not be able to hear noises around you as well. So again, with hiking, I accidentally said hiking, but I guess if you're hiking, you don't necessarily have to worry about all the cars going by, but you still kind of want to be careful if there's someone coming up behind you, or if you're near edge of a cliff, you want to be really careful so you're aware of your surroundings. So in general, if you're listening to music, just make sure you can still be aware of your surroundings enough if you're in a place where it could be dangerous to not be able to hear things around you. And again, as we said earlier, avoid music when needing to focus on complex instructions from a coach or a trainer, or when you're learning complex skills. Finally, your music selection should be personalized to you when doing individual exercise. So, you know, don't be afraid to choose music that other people might find cheesy, or you might think, oh my gosh, you know, people might be like, oh, you like that song? That's funny, you know, but this is your chance. If you're listening to music during your own individual training or exercise, you know, you can pick what music you want. Whatever's going to make you feel good, whatever's going to boost your mood the most, pick that. Now, when exercising or training in groups, try allowing everyone some say in the music selection. So if you're a coach, try taking like an anonymous survey where everyone writes down a few songs, and then kind of see if there's any similarities between the songs people chose, and develop a playlist that takes into account everyone's interest in music, whether what taste in music they have. And if you're leading a group exercise class, then, you know, cater it towards your group of people. If you have a certain age group that tends to come to your classes, then maybe find music that you think they would like based on the years that they grew up in, or what music is that they'd be listening to right now. Or just change up your music, make it diverse. And then, of course, as an exercise trainer, you want to pick music that's catered towards the type of exercise that you're leading. But you want it to also be music that people can relate to, that boosts their mood, that maybe stimulates some certain memories and good feelings within them. So now I want to finish by giving a few of my own personal examples of how music has benefited my sport performance. So from a very young age, I've loved music. When I started running cross country in 7th grade, back in 2009, it was my very first cross country race. It was a middle school race. I was in 7th grade. But I was running for the high school team. It was just my first race. They wanted me to run a middle school race. And some of the varsity high school runners told me, they said, pick a song to have in your head when you run. Have a song in your head when you're at the starting line to get you hyped up. You know, keep that song in your head. It will help. So I listened to him and I said, okay, I'm gonna pick a song. At the time, again, it was 2009, and one of the songs that was popular and that was on my mind was I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas. And it was perfect. You know, I'm on the starting line, I have that song in my head, and if you know that song and you know the lyrics, even though I was only in 7th grade, I happened to pick a song that had positive lyrical affirmations. So the song says, I got a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night. So even though the race was in the morning or the afternoon, it still had that idea of, like, this is going to be a great race. I got a feeling tonight's going to be a good night. I got a feeling this race is going to be great. And it really did. It boosted my mood. Having it in my head during the race made the race, it was, even though it was still a challenging race, it made the race seem, you know, less challenging, in the sense that I almost felt like I didn't have to exert as much energy because the song was energizing me, right? It was helping me move along. And I ended up coming in second place in that race, which could have happened even without having the song in my head, but I do believe that it benefited me to listen to my teammates and to pick a song to have in my head that boosted my mood, energized me, motivated me. My second example was when I was a little bit older, when I was in high school, now running a varsity race. We were running at the Kentucky Horse Park, and we were warming up. It was a Saturday, and whoever was in charge of organizing the meet had music playing during our warm-ups. And we still had plenty of time before our race, you know, just casually warming up, trying to just stay relaxed. You know, we're kind of nervous, anxious about the meet, and they start playing Sunday Morning by Maroon 5. And that is one of my all-time favorite songs. I love that song. And it just, I associate it with such good feelings. And if you know, Sundays are just such an awesome day. A day of rest. A day that we be with our families and we feel joy. So even though it was a Saturday, hearing that song, it just brought these good feelings into me. And it really helped. It, even though it was a warm-up and you want to get hyped up, you know, when you're warming up for a cross-country race, especially early on in the day when you still have some time before your race, you know, you're kind of just jogging lightly, you do want something that's going to keep you kind of calm, like still kind of get you hyped up, but kind of help with those nerves and that anxiousness. And so this song was just was what I needed to hear at that moment. I'm so thankful for that. And then I also played other sports growing up, and I remember when warming up for soccer and basketball, I loved the warm-up music. And just that feeling of being with your team, being out there on the court or the field, wearing your uniform with pride, having fans there cheering you on, just that power that music has to boost your mood. Not only the mood of the athletes, but also the mood of the fans, right? It's just that it helps with that overall experience. And then it also helps get my heart rate up, get me hyped up, get me excited for the game. And I didn't always do the best in warm-ups, which is, you know, the point of warm-ups. But it helped me get excited, and it helped motivate me and boost my mood, and that was really important to me. So those are a few personal examples. So after this, what I really hope, I hope you were able to reflect on these benefits that music has on sport and exercise. And I hope after this, that when you're on Spotify, when you're discovering new music, or you're looking at songs that you already have on your playlist, that you really find songs that you can use for all areas of your exercise and sport performance. So songs that you can have dedicated for warm-up, songs that you can have during your exercise to use, and songs that you can have as more calming and relaxing music to cool down with or to listen to after a performance. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. Thank you to Dr. Costas Karagiorgis for his insight from his textbook, Applying Music and Exercise in Sport. I hope you can check out that textbook. It's awesome. And thank you to music. Thank you for all the artists that have created music, that have allowed us to use music in so many areas of our life, including in sport and exercise. Please join us next time on the Kentucky Resilience Lab.